All right, I'm calling this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. Please set your phones on stun and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Will you please call the roll?
Here.
Arriving.
Here.
Here.
Derek Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Bacalanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
Roman Whitaker. Absent. William Baker.
Present. All right, we have a quorum. Next up, that time of the year, folks, it's the election of officers. Done this a couple of times, like every year since we've been on this since the flood of September of 2008.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, you can hear me? Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Great. Mr. Chairman, I move to reelect the current slate of officers for the upcoming year. William Baker, Chairman. Tom Wichlinski, Vice Chairman. Tom Gazdecki, Treasurer. Levon Whitaker, Secretary.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Wow. Well, Mrs. Lambert, please call a roll.
Roll call vote.
Yes. Yes.
Anthony
Brodick. Yes.
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 Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert
Ochi.
Yes.
Moving right along. Thank you very much. Looking forward to it. This group is outstanding, and I'm looking forward to continuing to push the envelope to make Northwest Indiana a better place to live. How's that? Next up is the approval of the minutes for January 19th, 2022. Any changes, modifications, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from January 19th of 2022.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Bunch of seconds. Any discussion? All right, we're still on the same Robert Rules deal. Mrs. Lambert, roll call vote, please. Yes.
Yes.
Anthony
Yes.
Derek
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert
Ochi? Yes.
William
Yes. Next up, Chairman's report. Thank you for the vote of confidence, gentlemen. I do respect and will try to do the best I can to continue to improve, and please remember that, at least from my thought process, the pictures that are now pretty much green from the flood of September 2008 explains what happens if you have a $275 million man-made engineering project that you don't maintain. So by focusing on a maintenance program and having all communities work together towards the common good, because water knows no boundaries, you have a chance to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. Now, this is a Mother Nature project. So what thing you have to keep in mind when we get 10 gallons of water for a 5 gallon bucket, we're going to have some challenges, but we're going to be far better prepared. I can guarantee you that than we were prior to the events of September 2008. Today's going to be this next couple of days. It's going to be a perfect example as you have frozen ground, melting snow and rain coming. So, ice dams, things that we normally don't think about during the winter are going to be another part of the process dealing with making sure this $275 million man-made flood control project does what it was engineered to do. Continue. All right, that's enough of that. Finance report is the approval of the claims for February 2022. I'll take a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we approve the claims for February 2022 in the amount of $196,818.76.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Paying the bills, Mr. Repay. It's winter. It's the season. It's
5 pounds. Maybe having it on would be a great idea. Just to go over some of the high points, Christopher Burke Engineering for the Griffith Levee rehab, that will be a part of my report, but just so everyone knows we're at 50% design. We've had a meeting with ourselves and the town of Griffith and their representatives as far as what we would like to see with respect to that levy, the impacts, and who would be taking control over it. So that's a project that is key for us. Hopefully will be available to be bid early summer, late spring. They seem to be picking up the pace, and there doesn't seem to be too many changes coming off the 50% meeting that we just had, I think it was Friday. So that was for $24,557. We had a bollard placement for $54,650. We're moving from the wood bollards to metal bollards. We've, over time, over the years, they've been rotted. People have run them over. People have used a sawzall to cut them. So it's the access. And so we're hoping that these new bollards, which have been proven successful in other locations, will prove successful here. So that's that.
Big rocks.
We've done rocks, but rocks are good for the slopes, not necessarily because we don't want to encase them in the concrete that we need to. So it's, yeah, it's just.
How many sets are being replaced as a part of this project?
Everything from First Street to the east all the way to Market the King.
I know you're working on that, but that didn't help me. That's a lot. Is that 100? Is that a number?
Probably 60 bollards.
60.
Are being replaced.
Thank you.
So that just gave you directions. You figured two for each intersection, at least minimally. Some have larger because their openings are larger. So, for instance, Grant Street will be a larger opening because of the access there that is allowed, I guess, for our pump stations. So,
thank you.
Once we run out of that, we may extend it to see how successful they are. Our pump stations are all running, doing well. We're going to start the process of upgrading a couple of them through a couple engineering firms where we get some proposals from. But right now, all the stations are working as they should. USGS, which is our monitors, that's our quarterly payment for $24,910. Reimbursement to the City of Lake Station, which is our final reimbursement in the amount of $10,625.52 for their watershed plan. They had gone through some changes in their engineer, and so this would cap them out at the allowable amount that you guys had put on it. So, anything else?
That's good. Is there anything from the board with regards to the bills for Mr. Repay? Outstanding. There's a motion and a second. This is Lambert.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony
Brown. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Mr. Repay, Executive Director's Report, Project Tracker.
We'll start with Hart's Ditch. We've been in contact with Lake County Surveyor's Office. Awaiting permits, which will be here shortly. We got actually a couple of them on Monday. So once we get, I believe there's two more outstanding. They were all submitted at the same time. We are going to hard armor the area between Twin Creeks and the Park West subdivision, which is, I don't recall what the South Street is, but it's roughly 45th on the north side. Is that, what's the Twin Creeks Boulevard going in? You want an aerial? Okay.
Not you. I want you to talk. I would like her to do that.
Well, I want to be passing all that fast in here. Deep River clearing from 51st Street all the way to going south or going north to Veterans Park in Lake Station. That is something that we have started a few years back when we started at the railroad crossing track in Hobart. And so we've slowly progressed ourselves down north and downstream, but it's north, to make sure that it's been cleared. Most cases, most residents say that hasn't been done in over 30 years. So as we keep on moving downstream, we're assuming that more stuff will get caught up, and then eventually we will end up at the rock ripple that we just completed and that we received a small award for. So that's on the agenda. So when the weather gets better, Beaver Dam Ditch, working with Lake County, we've contracted with Wessler. They're going to put together a model so that you can apply that model going forward to any project going forward with St. John Crown Point, Winfield. So when they come with a project, you'll be able to say, well, how does it affect our model? They'll show you the model here. I believe in March they should be done, or at least partially done with it. And then we're going to take some of the obstructions that are in there already that exist, that go through White Oak, White Hawk, off of Broadway, all through that area in conjunction with Lake County to clear it up, because that is a major thoroughfare for water coming from the south part of the county.
Yes.
Already spoke about Griffith Levy. We're in the midst of doing some acquisitions. City of Hammond, our attorney has been working on getting the deeds, prepared the deeds. The City of Hammond agreed to the deeds, so they have to just run them through the course of both the park board and the Board of Works to get properties that were erroneously deeded to us. And then in turn, we get some properties that are inside the levy. So no cash is really being exchanged, but it's doing something to clean up a lot of the title work that should have been done many years ago. Tuesday, we received the three deeds for our tax sale certificates that we applied for. Those are three properties that we needed by the Corps. The Corps asked us for them. These have been going on for years. And that has been completed as of Tuesday. They were recorded. We're going to order new title work, and then the court is going to give us credit for those certificates that have now turned into deeds. Kennedy Avenue Bridge is still, we're still trying to work through the process with the federal guidelines through this transportation infrastructure dollars. We're trying to find the most efficient way to do it. We've worked through our connections in Indianapolis, and we're working through NERC to both find a way to get Kennedy Avenue funded and able to be constructed. Right now, the timeline for that currently is the best timeline is 2023 for us to start construction. So even though it's early 22, just all the things that we need to do to make it qualified, it's going to require that long of a period of time. Working with NERC on another project, who would have thought, on pedestrian trails. They want to connect Three Rivers in Lake Station to our trail in Martin Luther King. As I explained, NERC is if they can get the land gathering together and sort of do the traffic control, because they're going to have to go over pipelines and railroads and underneath NDOT, we would be happy to participate to make that connection, to make the trail go now from where we build the rock ripple all the way through, including to Griffith. So the next then big component would be going from the Griffith levee over those railroad tracks to Burr Street or to Harbor Gas.
How do you propose to get past I-65?
The plan that they have is we would run alongside a railroad easement underneath the existing bridge on I-65.
Are you kidding?
That's why I said I wasn't going to be doing the planning management. I'm not having those meetings. If they want to do it,
okay.
Have at it.
It's aggressive. I like it.
I like it too, but I told him, I said, I'm not going to be able to participate in trying to figure out how to get over I-65 next to railroad tracks over pipelines. So, I mean, that's what they do. So if they do, then we're there for them.
So outside of those trails, I mean, the other aspect is we were talking about the maintenance of the ones we've already got. Is that something that's in the pipeline?
The plan was to do the assessment in April when we walked the trails for our part of our annual inspection. Hopefully by that time we will no longer have snow. So we'll be able to better assess those. I mean, we have a good idea of the ones that are the older ones, the older trails, especially between Northcott and Indianapolis Boulevard. That is a well-used and older version of ours. Now, some of the areas aren't as old as you know. The last couple of years we've sort of top these things off. So there are some that are newer than most, but in April we have the inspection from Hammond, Highland, Munster into Griffith, and then in June we will do all of Gary. So if we do it in that segment, we could just bid them that way as well as to seal and coat them in that manner. And you just do the ones that need to be and then just put it on a constant booking. You know, rotating schedule. I'm not going to go.
Even though Gary's the oldest as far as the actual levee, it has the newest asphalt as far as pavement. So is I'm trying to ask the question, is where's the oldest segments of the asphalt trails that we should hit first? Is it starting at the state line and going east, or is it just kind of cobbled?
They're all about the same, because even though Gary wasn't, is the older segment, we actually
just put him in there.
Right. Actually, one of the older segments is going to be the one between Northcott and the Boulevard, okay. That which is why you start to see the cracks on the side.
Falling apart, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, we did a lot of paving in Gary. We did a lot of paving. But, you know, segment 7 and 8, which is Hammond, was done in 2014-15. So that's only, what, 6 years?
But, I mean, as that goes out, you're on my point, which is to do all the oldest asphalt and have them focus on those to try to see what we can get done this construction season. And then we'll kind of do those in segments like you've done before. Are you thinking doing the whole thing?
No. No, I'm doing segments and doing and trying to group the segments together so that the economy of scale, so right. That you know, you're not just doing one section and then you've got to remobilize and go down the way. So if you can get a couple miles here or there, you know, another one that's an older one is the one between Kennedy Avenue and Wicker Park. That's another one that has been there for a while, as has the one between Klein Avenue and Kennedy on the Highland side. That has been there for the longest. That's one of the older segments.
Just do me a favor, and as we go through those particular communities, make sure the contacts in those communities know that we're looking at that in case they want to do some other happy things associated with that.
We actually talked about it in this afternoon's O&M meeting. Besides the rain and the snow and and everything else that was going along, we did talk about this. We talked about our exercises. We talked about the inspections that are enabled, because, as you know, it's going to snow 6 inches tomorrow, and then it's going to be sunny and 72, you know, 2 weeks from now. So
and it's going to be spring.
And then we're on inspections, and then we're all looking at each other. So that's why we cut the grass so late as we did in November. It was because of the fact that in April, you don't know what you're going to get. You can get a very soft bank, and our lawnmower guy can hit more things than he already sort of does anyway. So
grass.
Yeah. Pedestrian trails,
railroad bridge.
We've engaged a group that is with Patrick, or had been formerly with Patrick, but they were involved in the Hobart Bridge, and they have the connection with Norfolk and Southern. That's the bridge. This is the one between Kennedy and the Boulevard by the Wendy's. That's the one with the awful closure that they have that's made out of concrete and 1 ton of metal. So that's the one that's the most logical to fix. And if we can also get rid of the wooden piers that are in the water, it also takes out a blockage for us. So and eventually when we get to Kennedy Avenue in 23 or 24, we have now a clean stream of water with no blockages or interruptions from the point of Hart's Ditch all the way to all the way until I would say the culverts at Martin Luther King, those are something that.
If there was an aerial up, I would tell you that I'm not so sure I agree with that, because there's that big island in the middle of the river.
I'm going to get an aerial up for the end.
All right, so how long do you think it'll take before we get some idea of a proposal for them? Or do you have to do a proposal for them to do the assessment?
They're doing a site visit next week. It was supposed to be tomorrow. We canceled it. So next week we're going to do a site visit. They want to see it. They've seen the closure. They've seen how it isn't working, but they want to see it visually, especially how it impacts that one crossing into Wicker Park Estates, which is, I don't know what the two neighborhoods are, but it's between the Kennedy Avenue and when you go into Wicker Park Estates. I don't know what the street is. Like, if I had an aerial up, I'd tell you, but there's that road.
Okay. So what they're looking at, the one you talked about between the Boulevard and Kennedy Avenue, that railroad crossing, mm-hmm. The one that runs parallel to 45th and Munster?
No, it runs parallel with both the Boulevard and where the Armory is in Hammond.
Oh, okay.
So that's that which used to go to the Roundhouse up there in East Chicago.
Right. Well, that's the same line you're talking about goes behind Target in Highland.
Well, they all bought, yeah.
Yeah. That goes over the bridge between. All right. So which I'm asking, what other railroad bridges over the river are we having a look at, except for that? Just that one.
The one.
What about the one next to the on River Road in Griffith that we're looking at doing that? Just have a look at it.
I'll have a look at it. That's an expanse. I mean,
that's a thing. So have a look at it. I mean, they're better than you and I to figure that out, or anybody in this room. So at least have them put some eyes on it if they're going to come for a tour.
But yeah, the river gets really wide in that area. I mean, it's like, as opposed to where we are right by the BMB, by the pond, the river's, you know, 200 feet wide.
Right. It depends out there. We don't have a problem with anything there, do we?
Where?
At the Griffith.
It's an older bridge. It has one pier in the middle, but they're not the wood pilings like we have at the one off of Kennedy. The one at Kennedy has the wood pilings every whatever, and the closure is terrible. The one in Griffith, we have no closure, and we only have a middle sort of concrete structure that doesn't really cause many blockages for us. I knock on wood, because that could always change, but.
So the bridge thing that I was thinking about is how to get a bike from the Rookery to the other side of those railroad tracks. Now, there's a bridge that we're responsible for. They can do that if we could run the trail up one of those Griffith roads to be able to go up that. But I don't know how that would work.
That's
but anyway, just have them look at it, and then we can figure out whether or not that would work.
And the railroad bridge at Kennedy, mm-hmm. would we eliminate a closure there?
Yes.
So but that would require a lot of extensive grade change of the tracks, right?
Correct. It's about a 2 foot rise. And I'm not the railroad engineer expert, but I know there's only a certain percent that you can raise or cause the rise of a railroad track without causing a lot of trouble for them, because they're carrying freight. I think I want to say it's 1% for whatever, how many feet, but that would only be a pure guess. So, and to get the pedestrian bridge over, we always thought about getting the bridge, going the bridge underneath the Griffith Railroad. But then after thought, if the river rises, you're just going to eliminate that. You're not going to be able to go. So we might as well go over it. We have enough land to do it. But right now, the most important thing to do is to build the levee, to build the pump station.
Okay, thank you.
Spring Lake is, I don't know if you guys didn't tell me to open bids yet, but we have two bids for Spring Lake. All of our tests from IDM have come back good every time we've tested, and that's great. The Colfax, a ditch proposal, we're working with another engineering firm to give us a proposal here soon. It was only been 1 month, but we should have something ready and signed by next month for that. All of our pump stations are in good shape, as I stated. And then we're working on fixing some various issues that were identified during our inspection last year, whether they were missing gates or the gates were loose, and we have contractors out there fixing those. So that when they're coming around in April, that they will be ready to go. We have two folks here that are going to give you a brief presentation. Harry and Daniel, one's from Whitland Initiative, and the other one's from the Autobahn. And they're going to give you a brief update as to the progress that is going on our partnership. They are continuing to work during these great winter months. As a matter of fact, our new bollards locked them out on one occasion, so we had to run out keys to them to get it fixed. So, yep, they're there. And so, with no further ado,
so I make sure that my mic's on for them, please, and state your name and address for the record, please.
Yes, thank you very much. Seems like it's working. I'm Daniel Suarez. I'm the conservation manager for Audubon Great Lakes. For my first time addressing this body, but my boss, Nat Miller, has been here on a few occasions and sends his regards. I just wanted to provide you a bit of an update. This will be really quick, and I apologize a little bit fast, trying to get through a lot of information in a short amount of time, but wanted to give you some ideas to how the dollars that you're graciously funding our organizations and our partnership are being spent. So just want to start by talking a little bit about water levels. Obviously, 2021 was a dry year, at least in the last couple of years, a little bit less severe in Northwest Indiana than what we were seeing in the Chicago area. But you can see just really quickly here, these pink lines are the 2021 water levels, and at places like MLK, those levels were the lowest that we've seen them, which provides us a really interesting opportunity for management and gives us another tool in our fight against phragmites. So this picture was from Martin Luther King, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the activities that we were able to undertake last year due to those low water levels. This is going to be hard for you to see, so I'll just summarize this really quickly. This is the newest published data that we have. It's our Calumet Marshburg report for 2021. We've got an Illinois report, an Indiana report, and this is basically our 11 focal species that we've got along the top here. And then these are all the sites where we're doing monitoring. These are just the Indiana sites. We have a whole nother set of sites on the Illinois side, but just wanted to call out those low water levels overall negatively impacted the abundance of birds that we were seeing at these sites. However, sites like Highland Rookery, Chase Street, Grant Street, and MLK had anywhere from 8 to 5 of those 11 focal species. So even though the numbers of overall birds were down, we're really happy to see that as these habitats are continuing to change, the vegetation structure is changing due to the intensive management that we've been doing, the birds are still responding favorably. And just to get just a really quick snapshot of three sites that you all own, Chase Street / Grant Street, I think some of our organizations call it Chase Street, some Grant Street, but east of Chase Street here, this unit, very low water levels as well, but you can kind of see in this top left picture the response in the seed bank. So as the water recedes, the sun is heating up the soil, it's stimulating all of these seeds that have been latent in that soil for years, decades, you know, maybe even a century, you know, in some cases, science shows that those seeds can stay viable. So they're waiting for the right conditions. When water levels drop, you get a flush of vegetation. And assuming that the water levels go up in 2022, that's going to create the perfect conditions for the hemi marsh that we've been trying to establish, where we have a really nice mixture of open water and vegetation, little pockets for birds, for these marsh birds to actually nest in. And then on the right, you see here, these are some of the treatment areas that your dollars helped fund through contractor work. These are areas that were treated for phragmites. So these represent the more upland areas of these sites, but really intensive phragmites management work that was happening. And we're really, really encouraged by the early results of that. Obviously, we'll have to see in 2022 how that response is being maintained over time, but we've set into motion the right management to keep these areas healthy in the long run. Bouncing over to the Highland Rookery here, similar story. You can see in the top left, this is a picture that was taken last fall. This, you can see in the foreground, is all dead phragmites. And this was all sprayed out using a Marshmaster, which you see here on the bottom left. This is a semi-amphibious vehicle that allows the contractor to go into these hard-to-reach areas and spray phragmites. On the right, this is a map sent to us from the contractor, and all of those little red lines are the actual tracks that the Marshmaster made. So you can see the coverage of that is really, really, really extensive, and will in future years, you know, we'll stay on top of it. Harry and the Wetlands Initiative, we'll be scheduling some additional management here and at other sites in 2022. But again, really happy to see water levels were low, able to treat phragmites next year should lead to some exciting results. And the final site, MLK, you know, last year was a really banner year for MLK South. We had the first prescribed burn there, and that was following some aerial herbicide treatments that we used to combat phragmites. So these three pictures that you're seeing here are your little Cal crew hard at work out there doing follow-up work in some of the intermediate areas where we either the burn didn't cover extensively, or the phragmites was too close to the tree line, or some other reason why the helicopter couldn't get that close. And you can see in the bottom left there, that band of green that's running across, that's all phragmites resprout. So that whole area was totally burned. And you can see just how beneficial burns are, because let me just go back to the previous photo. You can see all that dead vegetation in the top left picture. If you don't get a burn in, the next year the phragmites grows. And when you go out to spray, you're spraying maybe 50% new growth and 50% dead growth. So that's a waste of herbicide, and you're not getting full coverage on the Phragmites. And so in this picture on the bottom left, you can see that's all green. There's no dead vegetation obstructing it. So every drop of herbicide is going to be hitting that Phragmites, and it's going to give us a better chance of eliminating it in the short term. So again, going back to the low water levels, that provided us with an unprecedented opportunity to do some plug planting. So tiny little wetland plants, just a couple inches tall. We were able to hire a contractor to get into the northwest corner, about in this area here that I'm circling on the map there. And we were able to plug nearly 3,000 plants in there. That's going to give us a chance to provide species that will actively compete with cattails and Phragmites, which are a huge problem in this wetter part of MLK in the northern zone. Again, you see the in the bottom right, that footprint of the prescribed burn from last time. And I wanted to just include this map on the left. So this, we have planned to do another aerial spray at MLK in 2021, just to really hammer that Phragmites again, especially after that prescribed burn. We have had some issues getting permission and permits from the city of Gary for aerial spraying as well as prescribed burning. So we're the partnership that we're a part of, we're actively working with city of Gary to try to do some outreach and education around the benefits of prescribed burns and aerial spraying, not as, you know, and not letting that get, them get lumped into kind of this idea that all burning is the same. You know, we wouldn't in a prescribed burn situation be putting any smoke onto neighborhoods nearby. But, you know, in the interim, we'll keep doing maintenance and work on the ground and work to with the city of Gary to get permission for that in future years. Since Craig Zanstra was not able to be here today, I told him that I would deliver his crew update from the Little Cal crew. They've been working over the last month in the southwest part of MLK South. This is really important work to establish an access trail in the southwest corner. So that area that you see in yellow is not necessarily the exact route that the trail will take. But in working with contractors, we've learned that this access point is really crucial for Phragmites management, because any prescribed burns or any aerial spraying that we're able to do in the future will not be able to hit those Phragmites close to the tree line there. So we need an access point for contractors to drive a vehicle in to access those areas on foot. And so the crew has been working. It's been really great. We all went out there in early January. We all checked out the area. We kind of plotted a route for the trail to take. And the Lake County Parks has graciously lent a ton of their additional staff outside of the crew and some of their heavy machinery to come in and clear some of these areas. And you can see here, this picture was sent to us, a giant downed tree, a large cottonwood that they had to call in the cavalry with some larger equipment to cut through there. And so that will be a really important access point in the future, and really just thankful for the Lake County Parks staff for getting out there with the big machines. Looking forward to 2022, kind of winding down here. Just want to talk really quickly, not about the data that you're seeing on the screen, but just some tools that Audubon has developed to work with land managers that will impact the work that's happening along the Little Cal. So we've got two kind of online-based tools. This is the Marshburg Monitoring Hub that will be working with landowners over the next month or so to have one-on-one conversations to help them understand where these marsh birds are at their site and what the implications are. So in this case, you can see all of these little colored dots represent different bird species. All of those little, you probably can't see it, those little binocular symbols are monitoring points. And those are all the locations of birds that we found. And so we can key in on areas where birds are and aren't, and that can help us make decisions about where we should mobilize resources, where we should really pay attention to doing some additional habitat work. The other tool is we're still developing this. It's a vegetation, the vegetative component of what you just saw with the birds. We're doing extensive vegetation monitoring at all of the sites that we're monitoring birds. And over time, this will help us really quantify the difference in the change in Phragmites abundance and cattail abundance, and then getting to this hemimarsh You can see here the proportion of open water to emergent herbaceous plants. We want to get that about 50-50. And at this site, they're almost achieving that. But this will give us a great library of images of all of these sites. And this this also will be one of the things that we're going over with the landowners, helping them understand a little bit more clearly how the bird data and the vegetation data help inform each other and can help them, you know, make decisions outside of the little Cal on a lot of these landowners that have very limited resources and have to make tough decisions about, do we manage for birds?
Daniel, is this our site? I mean, I appreciate all the other landowners and all the birds that are there as well, because that's a lot. But, you know, can we focus on where our stuff is and the things that we're focused on? Is this a part of our particular project?
This is not. This is on the Illinois side. We don't have the Indiana data up there yet. So this is just an example showing kind of what data is going to be.
Stop, no.
Sure. The next thing I just want to talk about, this slide is not very visually appealing, but we are actively in developing management plans for MLK South, for the Rookery, and for Chase Street Wetlands. And so we've got a team together of folks, including Audubon Wetlands Initiative and the Nature Conservancy. Lake County Parks is involved as well. And we hope to, by the summer, have management plans in place that will help the commission, will help anyone who's interested in learning more about these sites understand the trajectory that these sites are on and kind of what's going to need to happen in order for these sites to be successful long term.
Mr. Repay, do you have a copy of that?
No.
Can you please send a copy of that to Mr. Repay?
I sure will.
Thank you.
And just my last slide here, in 2022, things that we're going to continue doing, we're going to keep doing marsh bird monitoring. The contractor work, as I mentioned before, is going to continue at our focal sites. Harry's going to talk a little bit about the water control structure installation. Already mentioned the landowner one-on-ones, and in addition, going to continue through our Wild Indigo program, doing education and outreach across the Little Cal Basin footprint, as well as doing some volunteer stewardship events, hopefully in the spring if conditions allow. So again, just want to thank you for the funding that you've given us. Really exciting progress, and we're excited to see how that continues developing this year.
Outstanding. So Daniel, are you new to this project now?
Not new to the project, but new to kind of managing a lot of the day-to-day work. So I've been involved on the fringes for the last 2 or 3 years.
So you're the new day-to-day guy.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Way to go.
Thank you.
All right. So we're looking forward to working with you. So as it relates to the phragmites, you saw a lot of pictures with regards to that. Before you bring your colleague up, how are you doing the annual year-over-year maintenance for what you burned last year, about 2 years ago? And as we move through this, is that a part of everything that we renew, that you continue to make sure that we're not just doing what the engineering group and construction group did on this particular project, but build it and then forget about it,
right?
And then we have problems. So
right,
the maintenance of as you move forward and try to continue to do that, one, that's one question. So is that something that is part of your management plan that we'll be able to see? And will you make those presentations to the point where you show us what our follow-up maintenance on projects that might have been in previous years, so we can kind of follow that progression?
Absolutely.
As well as the new stuff and the birds and the new path. I mean, those are good. And then with the phragmites, did they bring up you up to speed about some of the neighboring or contiguous property owners, specifically like NDOT, that, you know, doing all of this great work, and then across the street, I'm looking at, you know, acres of this stuff. It kind of doesn't make much sense to me. So I'm trying to expand the project of that, so we're not taking care of one section, but leaving it to run wild across the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Rookery is a perfect place. I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, right at the light, right across the street in the ditch, I'm looking at all the phragmites, because that's where the line was.
Right.
So how do we have that type of a discussion so we could not create any undue liability for you, yet still try to engage our contacts to be efficient in taking care of this?
We'd be very happy to be connected with some of those contacts that haven't been part of the conversations to date, because like you said, it's a fool's errand to do intensive management at a site without identifying the source for potential new reinfestations of the same species. And so as we're doing this annual management, we don't simply do the treatment 1 year and then move on to another area the next year. It involves scouting the area you worked the year before, making sure that that's under control before you really start investing. Because the first time you do a phragmites treatment, you're triggering kind of a process that's going to take multiple years.
I get
years.
It. And that's what I want to have the updates on that we're doing exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then we have basically the MLK and everything moving down towards to Highland. Is that the only segment that you're working on, or are you looking at bringing in new segments?
Those are the only segments we're working on now. We want to make sure before we take on more acres that the acres we've already started managing are in a good place. And so
what's your forecast of a good place? I'm always looking for the good place.
Yeah, so I mean, a good place is where you can get someone to go out there with a backpack sprayer and hit any tiny little phragmites that are coming up, things that don't require sending out a small army to tackle or sending out a helicopter to tackle. So in all these areas, it's going to require diligence for many years, although not the intensive type of resources that have been given to date.
And I appreciate that. And then, you know, as far as the other resources and trying to make sure that you don't have obstacles like getting permits for some of the municipalities that we spend millions of dollars in trying to make sure that they don't flood, those would be things that we'd be happy to know. I'm not saying we'll be able to help, but sure. We could have conversations outside of your office. Specifically, also going back to the phragmites and NDOT, they're not real helpful in getting approvals, but you know, I can take some hits for some of that kind of stuff. So it's just where and when, and have some idea of when it's going to be viable.
Awesome. Yeah, I can put together a report on some of that.
All right. Gentlemen, any other questions for this young man?
I think you covered it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sir.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Harry Kuttner. I'm with the Wetlands Initiative. I'm the new Calumet coordinator. It's a new position, so I've been on board for about 6 months.
Welcome, Harry.
Thank you. Thanks for having me tonight. So my boss, Gary Sullivan, who's our senior ecologist, has presented to you all a number of times. But tonight, I want to sort of follow up on what Daniel started to talk about and do a really brief overview of the two water control, stop log water control structures that we're hoping to get installed this year at Highland Rookery and MLK South Wetland. So we're sort of in the second phase of managing at these sites. And, you know, we've been focusing on phragmites, other invasive management, and herbicide application only gets you so far to establish hemi marsh conditions for hemi marsh to develop. We really need some water level management to make these sites resources for community and wildlife.
Keep the water moving.
Exactly. Yeah, so Daniel's talking about water levels are extremely low recently. So essentially the way that it works right now at Highland Rookery and MLK South is that during dry periods, the water just drains from the site, and low water levels in turn lead to conditions that phragmites and other invasive species want to take advantage of. Hemi marsh is not able to establish unless you have about a foot and a half or 2 feet depth ponding area. So we're talking about installing relatively small concrete stop log water control structures. And essentially these structures would be installed in the outlet channels of these two sites. They'll allow for 2 foot change in ponding depth in some of these sites. And essentially they're passive systems. So they'll be set up with all stop logs in place. Once they're set up, there's virtually no maintenance required to maintain ecological function. So what I mean by that is you put in the stop logs, precipitation builds up over time, and you could get up to 2 feet depth of ponding because of those. But land managers don't need to come in every month to check on the structure. There's not really anything that they have to do outside of regular invasive management for hemi marsh to begin to establish. We're just trying to get that hydrology back to normal. These structures, the proposal that we're using for these structures, the design we're using for the structures is something that the Army Corps of Engineers basically recommended, put together in a planning assistant to state report that they provided for our partnership at the beginning of last year. So the structures will have a net zero impact on flood control. And there is no maintenance required to maintain flood control function. So the boards are in place during a major flood event on the Little Cal. These structures are small enough that they will not impact the ability of flood holding capacity within the levee system, which is obviously the most important thing above maintaining hanging marsh habitat. So really quickly, this is from that Army Corps report. So it's a really basic design, essentially 2 foot tall concrete structure about a foot wide. And then there's a 3 foot wide by 2 foot tall opening in the structure where you could put in wooden stop log boards in 6 inch lifts to change the water level. So periodically land manager, which right now is our partnership, working with Lake County Parks crew, you know, periodically we'll take down water levels to do plug plantings to reach hard to access areas.
Manage.
Exactly. So just to show you where these structures are going, so Highland Rookery in the northeast corner is a riprap lined outlet channel. So this is going to go at the southern end of that channel. The structure will extend, I think, about 4 feet below grade and be keyed in to the sides of the outlet channel to, you know, prevent erosion. MLK South, the outlet channel is a little less well-defined. It hasn't been channelized with riprap. And it's in the northwest corner of the site. So here's an aerial photo. It's pretty small. It's about 8 or 10 feet wide. It's a lot smaller than the Highland Rookery channel. So here we're going to be working in, you know, native or existing soils, but there's not going to really be a loss of wetland habitat.
Not native though.
Exactly. So here, this is a little confusing, but this is basically that same aerial photo, zoomed in a little bit. We've been doing extensive work to figure out who exactly owns the land. So at Highland Rookery, that's the Basin Commission owning that. There's a private owner and Nature Conservancy owns it. MLK South, it's primarily owned by Gary Parks and Recreation, but there are two different sets of natural gas pipelines directly south, directly north of our work area. So there's a Wolverine easement running across most of the site south of the work area. The location where we're proposing to put in the structure is roughly 50 feet north of the northernmost Wolverine pipeline. We've been working with Wolverine and we're waiting on final approval to make sure that it wouldn't interfere with the operations at all. To the north, there's a NIPSCO right-of-way, which has electrical transmission lines, but there's also some gas pipelines further north. So we've been working really closely with NIPSCO. They've been a great partner. They're supportive of the invasive management, and we're also waiting on final approval from them to make sure that we wouldn't be interfering with their operations. So basically waiting on approval from those two organizations, we wanted to present to you all, and then we'll go to Gary Parks and Recreation next before we submit an IDEM Army Corps permit application.
So let me interrupt real
quick.
Can I go back to that? So it's imperative that you understand that even though we have a certain understanding, if you're looking for interaction with some of the folks like NIPSCO or Wolverine, is that as a part of that project that it runs through the Little Cow office so we know what you're doing, because we obviously have a lot of interactions with those particular entities elsewhere, and walking into a situation where we're not aware of certain things or discussions that might have been had not on our behalf would be unfortunate.
Absolutely, understood. Yeah, and Daniel and I spoke to Dan about a month ago. I kind of brought him up to speed on what I'm presenting today, but yeah.
I'm sure you're doing it. I'm just making sure I say it so everybody can listen, and that's important.
As soon as we get approval or any communication from NIPSCO, we'll pass that on. NIPSCO and we'll pass that on to Dan.
And if we're talking about before you start that initiative, because sometimes maybe we have things that are there's other ideas, because there's more than one way to make chicken.
Understood.
All right, thank you.
So that's about it. So, you know, just to recap, these structures are designed to help establish those heavy marsh conditions, but they're also a really key tool to help control phragmites, help flood out new growth, stuff like that. And yet again, just hammering that home that there is a net zero impact on flood control.
Outstanding. Thank you. Is that it?
That's it.
Any questions, gentlemen? Outstanding. Thank you very much.
Thank
when would the next one of these be, though? Now, as we start getting ready for ramping up in spring, when do you foresee the next update?
I mean, we're happy to come as frequently as you'd like. I think
When you have stuff done.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I want to see where birds are in Illinois, I don't necessarily want to do that.
Yeah, so we are hoping to be, we're planning on submitting the permit applications for these structures in the next month, ideally. But the structure construction would take place in this summer.
And have you seen these structures? Any plans for these?
Yeah. So I think maybe early summer, late spring.
Okay.
To give you an update on permitting, that might make sense.
That and whatever's going on, if you're doing anything or needed to do a burn or something, have challenges with that way ahead of time so we could start helping with that as well.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your support.
All right. Moving right along. Right. Next up is other issues and new business. Got to have the birds so you can take all the kids out there, Dave. So other issues, new business. What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'm very honored today to make this motion to open bids for the Spring Park project in the city of Gary to be awarded to the lower and most responsible bidder, pending review by our attorney, engineer, and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Let's open bids. Mrs. Lambert, we have to do a roll call vote because I have a motion and a second.
All right. Tom Lindsay?
Yes.
Tom Lindsay?
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Derek?
Yes.
Dave Bacalano?
Yes.
Ron Bear?
Yes.
Robert Ritchie?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes.
So why don't I just open them and then you can continue on. I don't want to have the totals I can report back to you.
Perfect.
If you want.
And if you want to do multitasking, because I saw the last one, that was...
Watch this real.
All right. See what they got over there.
Pending everything.
Okay.
How many are there?
There's two.
Two.
So for this one, as I look at it, from FH Passion, the total is $641,100.
Hey, your scissors.
Yeah, you know what? Test me. This next one is from
big purse. There's some knife in there.
No, it's a man bag. Gary up Kentucky Animals hurt someone last time I had the scissors. Jody's taken away from me. And by the way, it's hard to get old and not be able to see very well.
You want my cheaters?
I might need them, but I can't find the paper, so.
How about this? And who's the company?
I got that. It's Gary of Construction. And I found the total is $399,900. So
all right.
There you go. Unofficially, those are the two totals, and we will give them to both our attorney and to HWC, who is our construction management outfit, and see whether they're in compliance with what we put out as far as bids.
Outstanding. Thank you. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Todd Griffiths Katie Marsh Ditch Diversion Sewer Intake Screen Raker Replacement Watershed Application for the engineering portion only in the amount of $210,146, pending legal review and final execution of an interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion briefly, Mr. Repay.
If this is the rake for the trash rack, lack of a better word, at Katie Marsh Ditch, which helps our project. And they gave a presentation. And at this time, it's probably best that we just do engineering first. And then, assuming it comes out, we'll do hopefully 80% of construction.
And just to be consistent, this is part of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers project that we are also now spending money to correct.
Yeah, this isn't under our initial charter, but when we went and got funding back in 2012, it was agreed that we would help with the maintenance of this aspect of a federal project.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We do a motion to second.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Either or none. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Minnick?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ritchie?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Outstanding. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Town of Merrillville's Kaiser Ditch East Tributary Flood Control Improvement Project Watershed Application in the amount of $345,000 pending legal review and final execution of an interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And we have a second. Mr. Ripe.
This is Town of Munster, Town of Merrillville, Kaiser Ditch, we're close. They're asking for 50% for the design. This is a part of their master plan and as well as ours as well.
Just for engineering, correct? Or is this?
Correct, just engineering.
Correction,
Dan, if I may. This is this construction.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's done.
Thank you.
So this is construction and engineering?
No, just engineering. No. Engineering is done. I'm sorry. Construction.
Okay. So
the next one's engineering. Thank you for the correction.
This is the culvert replacement.
That's correct.
All right. Any other discussion? Thank you. Either or none. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
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 Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ritchie.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Standing. Moving right along.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Town of Merrillville's Hickory Ridge Apartment Flood Control Improvement Watershed Application for Design Engineering and Permitting in the Hickory Ridge area in the amount of $81,000 pending legal review and final execution of an interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second, Mr. Ripe.
Once again, in their master plan, ours as well, as far as fixing this area of concern, this is just engineering. Unless Matt jumps on and tells me otherwise.
All right, before I go to him, I mean, I want to ask you, did they get their interaction or approvals or discussions with the apartment property ownership?
I know they've had discussions, Matt. I know it's going to pick on and tell me what's happened.
Yes, we actually have a signed and recorded easement, and that's the one piece of the puzzle we were waiting on. So we feel comfortable moving forward with engineering. We did some preliminary engineering and topo before that, but now we're ready to go on with full engineering, and we're asking for 50% of the engineering cost.
Thank you, sir. So there's a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Either not, Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brunnett.
Yes.
Derek
Emmett. Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Outstanding. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Town of Dyer's Dyer Ditch, Hart Ditch, Stream Bank Stabilization Watershed Application in the amount of $81,000 pending legal review and final execution of an interlocal agreement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a second, Mr. Ripe.
This is for the implementation of that stabilization that you saw described to you at the last meeting. It's going to be split three ways through the Property Owners Association, through Lake County Drainage Board, and us. So we're $81,000. It's our 33%.
Thank you. We should be doing more there. Is there any other discussion? Good projects. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Emmett.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ritchie.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Outstanding. All right, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve the Sixth Amendment to the employment agreements of the executive director and office manager based on legal review.
So we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, and a second. So in lieu of going to Mr. Ripe on this one, I'll follow up, and the overview is annual reviews for compensation for our massive staff of the two fine individuals sitting in front of us here, for performance and salary increases for the calendar year 2021. And of course, we can't talk about anything personnel-wise. So, any other discussion? Motion and a second.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochoa?
Yes.
Wade Baker? Yes. Outstanding. Moving right along. My favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us make sure things like what happened on September of 2008 doesn't happen again, please come up to the microphone and state your name and address. Wild crowd going once, going twice. Closing that one. Bring it back to the board. I'm going to change it up. Mr. Castellanos, you first today.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the two young men from the Audubon Society. A very, very good report presentation, and we're looking forward to working with you in the future. Also, I just want to thank regards to the spring project that we're going to do in Gary. I just want to let the commissioners know that whoever the successful bidder is going to be, I plan on working with some of the officials in the community in order to have a groundbreaking ceremony, if that's okay with everybody else. All in all, thank you.
Mr. Nimitz.
Nothing to add, thank you.
Mr. Ochoa.
Nothing to add, thanks.
Mr. Gazdacki.
Just thank everyone for coming out. Thank you for the presentations. Glad to see us making progress with the, you know, all the communities and the monies that are being given to them to improve the quality of life of all their constituents, and be safe in that weather tomorrow. We need one of the holds for us.
Mr. Wyszynski.
Thanks for the good presentation. And I think I'd like to thank Jody and Dan for a great 2021 amidst all the stuff that we have to deal with. But you make us look good. Well, thank you.
Mr. Ware.
I'll echo Commissioner Wyszynski's comments about Dan and Jody. Thank you for the presentations this evening, and thanks for the updates that you were kind of tasked with on a more regular basis. So appreciative of that. Everyone have a safe evening.
Thank you, Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing to add.
All right, next meeting is the third Wednesday of the month, which makes it March 16th, March Madness, if you will. And we'll do, we'll entertain, oh, Anthony. Anthony, are you up?
Yep. I can't see him. Yeah, ahead. I'm here.
All right, anything to add, sir?
Yeah, no, I did want to echo both Dave Castellanos' comments about Spring Park and Wyszynski's comments about Dan and Jody. Excellent year, and thank the public for continuing to support. So, appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. All right. Everything else being taken care of, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second, please.
Second.
Any discussion? Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Be safe over the next couple of days. Pay attention. Make sure your neighbors clean up their catch basin, please.